Hello.
Hi, Linda. It's your friend Andy calling.
Oh, I've heard of him.
You have?
Yeah.
Hi. I'm calling
Hi.
because you contacted us about pain relief.
Are you
Don't
spam?
hang up. Don't hang
Oh,
up.
but what if I want to?
There is not a problem with your current credit card.
Okay,
But you could
good.
have a better credit card.
I could. Tell me more.
Yuck, 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 yuck.
It
How was your week, Linda?
was good. I was having a call with one of my Dublin designers, and he was like, or one of my phone rang while we were talking, and sorry, I keep getting thrown off because I hear a knocking. Is there a knocking on your end?
Yeah, it's my neighbor, I think.
Okay, cool. I was hoping that it was your dog's tail wagging so hard that it was like hitting your desk.
I wish, but no, it's my neighbor. No
They
accommodation for the fact that I'm recording a podcast. They don't give a shit.
don't fucking care. But anyways, no, I got one of those junk calls while I was in my one-on-one with him, and so I was like, "Is this a thing that happens to you?" And he was like, "No, I'm pretty sure that's super illegal in Ireland."
Yeah, that's an
And
America thing right there. That's like the
yeah.
American dream. The American dream is you one day can grow up and start a robocalling farm that can take advantage of
Right.
old people and people that don't have all their faculties about them and make some money and, buy a fast
Exactly.
car or something.
Ooh.
Then you'd be cool
Faster
because you have a fast car.
car. Yeah.
Allergy season,
Bless
Linda.
you.
This is an
I
episode of
know.
Sound Effects. What kind of Foley work are you doing over there? You got a bag of chips? What are you
That
doing?
was a bag of chips. I had some groceries delivered because I got no shame.
Yeah, we still have yet to do that at home in our
Yeah.
personal lives, but I feel like once we do, it's probably not going back, right?
I think that it is one of those no going back type of scenarios.
Though I feel like we
It's
mostly just
hard.
buy fresh produce and like meat and stuff at the grocery store, because
Right.
we buy very few packaged things, and I don't trust people to pick out my produce for me.
That's true, but
I
I
got
just have like my
hang-ups.
staples every week that I want, and like I like to pick my own vegetables, so I'll do that. But yeah, today I just kind of had this thought. I was like, it's getting cheaper and cheaper all the time to have the groceries delivered. And I'm like, this is I like I don't have a partner that I live with to like help me out with chores like these. So it means that like I can do the grocery shopping while I'm working. It's great. It's awesome. Like single moms must love this shit if it's affordable to them. But I
Yeah.
think that's the key there is
The
affordability.
affordability thing is definitely very key.
But sometimes, like, if the delivery fee is only like $5, I'm like, that's a round trip bus ticket for me.
Yeah.
So, makes sense.
We have a minor ethical dilemma in our home.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm curious to know your take on this. Have you purchased a shower head in recent history, or have you just kind of gone with the flow, what, pun intended, whatever kind of shower head happens to be in the place you're currently renting.
No, I've always, almost always, fucked with whatever shower head is currently there. I really want a new one for my shower because my shower is this like tiny little Amtrak bathroom where like the toilet and the shower are basically right over each other.
Yeah, which I keep telling you is an opportunity, not a that's a bug. Or I'm sorry, that's a feature, not a bug right there.
No, I love it. But to me, like, I think the thing that'll step it up a notch is I think we talked about this, the shower wand that you can double as a little butt shower.
Right.
Right. So I want that.
Make it happen for yourself. You can do it. It's
I
so
know.
easy.
It's very complicated. There's like the whole entire bathroom is covered in those penny tiles, and it's so
The
beautifully
walls
done.
too?
Yeah.
Oh
Because the
man.
whole room is like designed to get soaking wet.
You gotta send me a panorama of your penny tile.
I
Oh, you mean I'm
will.
sorry. You mean like the little tiny I 'cause there's a trend now on Pinterest of people are actually tiling their floor with pennies. Have you seen this?
Oh yeah, there's my friend Diane in Decatur, Georgia. She has like a one of her co-owners of that shop. He did that with the entire bookshop floor, and it
But you
says
don't
like
mean that. You mean just the
read.
cheap little tiles that are called
No,
penny
like
tile
he
because they're
did.
roughly penny sized.
No, he did actual pennies, but no,
Right,
in
right, right.
my right in my bathroom, no, I just have penny tiles, the penny shaped
Itty bitty
tiles.
ceramic circular tiles.
Yes. But there's a trend right now of people putting pennies.
Oh yeah, like actually like making floors out of pennies, yeah, and covering them in resin. At least I think it's a trend.
Wow.
Or like, you know, their bar top or whatever.
Yeah, cool.
Oh, it's so cool.
Cool. So
Yeah.
kitschy.
And it just makes you think about the stories of all these pennies. Just think of where they've
I
been.
know.
It's really like our lives, you know, we just kind of go through the world accumulating experiences, and then eventually you put all those experiences under resin.
I wonder how many butts each of these pennies has been in.
In.
Like how much, yeah. Like I wonder how
Do you
many
think how
times.
wait, so what percentage of pennies do you think have been in a butt?
I don't know. Not zero. You know
It's
somebody's
definitely
put.
not zero. You get no arguments from me there. I mean, I can't say with 100% certainty it's not zero, but it seems pretty obvious it wouldn't be zero.
Seems pretty obvious, right?
Doesn't seem like a good thing to put up your butt. Let's just say that. For
Nope.
those of you out there that are experimenting with butt play, you know, no flared base on a penny. So, you know,
Right.
without a base, without a trace, you're the penny now. So be careful with
Wait,
that.
is that a thing without a base, without a trace? That's
Absolutely. Yeah, it's got to have a base. Otherwise, it goes
never
without
heard
a
that.
trace.
That's
You'll
beautiful.
never forget that,
Poetic.
Linda. It's very
I
important.
never will. Never stop thinking
It's a
about
very memorable little, you know, aphorism or whatever.
Right. So what's the thing that you two are, you have your, tell me everything.
So
What's going
here's the
on?
ethical decision. Well, you know, we shopped around. Well, actually, what we first did, if you want the whole story, is we just went to the Home Depot. And we're like, because here's the thing, our shower head like sprung a leak. Gosh, 6 months ago. And I put a literal band-aid on the problem because we happened to have band-aids in the bathroom. And I was like, well, this will solve this problem temporarily. So I covered the hole with a band-aid. And then, you know, the band-aid would, the leak would get bigger and I would add another band-aid to it. And eventually our like shower head was a true Frankenstein abomination. So had to replace it. We thought we would just go to Home Depot, right? That's what we go to Home Depot for, right? To get a shower head.
Right.
So we went, and my only stipulations were that it be made of metal. I didn't want a plastic shower head. I wanted one made of metal.
Right.
And like that was basically it. That was pretty much it. And I didn't want anything fancy. I want things that can break, right? I want a simple shower head with no, you know, no dressings, no features, okay?
Right. You don't want it to like click into different variations of flow.
No, not really. I'm not looking for that because it's another thing it can break. It's another thing it can spring a leak. I don't need any of that crap.
Right.
So we went to the Home Depot, and guess what? There are zero metal shower heads in the whole Home Depot, or so we thought.
What?
We go to like the shower head display case, and
Right.
you know they have, if you're buying like a whole trapping set for your shower that includes like a faucet and a shower head and a like temperature changey thing and some other bits of chrome. Then
Yeah.
you can get like a nice metal one, like you know what you would picture as like a nice suburban shower head. You can get that in that segment of the store, but they don't sell those individually. They only sell those in big kits. And if it's like you're redoing your whole shower, all the individual shower heads, all made of plastic, every single one of them. They're all plastic covered in chrome.
Wow.
We found one shower head in a little cardboard box in the corner of the shelf, like tucked in the back. That just looks like it looks like the. I guarantee it's the exact same shower head that like if you ever went to sleepaway camp or you like had a gross locker room in like your 40-year-old
Yeah.
high school, it's like that shower head, right? Little
Wait,
tiny
so is that
thing.
the one you got?
Well, so we bought it. We're like, great, made of metal. It was $10. We're like, perfect. We're not fancy people. We don't need a fancy shower head. So we bought it, brought it home, installed it. And I'm not sure if you can picture the exact thing I'm describing. So it's like, it's really tiny. It doesn't flare out at all, almost at all, right? Like if it's a half inch pipe coming out of the wall, this thing's maybe an inch in diameter where the water comes out. And then it's got like a little lever on it. You can turn it on and off at the shower head. Like it's
Yeah.
got a quote unquote pause feature, which it's kind of silly.
Wow.
But the thing about the shower head is it totally sucked. It's the worst shower head ever. It just, like, it
No.
just sprayed the water everywhere. It just made a mess of it.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, a child spraying food out of its mouth. And it was like no discrete streams of water, so that by the time the water was at like my like chest or like waist height, it was already like pure mist. Like there's no water hitting your feet. At that point, it's just like become mist because it's been dissipated in the air so much. And it gets super cold immediately because it's got all this air mixed in, so it cools off as soon as it comes out of the shower head. It was terrible, really bad. So had to replace it, did our research, got a shower head, which brings us to the ethical dilemma. So we have a nice new shower head. Nothing fancy, but you know, it's a good one. It's
Right.
all made of, you know, solid metal like we wanted. All shower heads today come with a flow restrictor installed in the shower head such that it limits the flow of water. Because by law in the United States, you can't sell a shower head that has a higher flow rate than 2.5 gallons per minute of water. At least that's what I understand it to be. It's a little confusing to me because I feel like the flow rate would depend on the pressure in your pipes, probably, but maybe that's not how flow dynamics works. I don't understand. Either way, so they all have this little thing. And I think probably partially as a byproduct of the manufacturing process and also partially intentionally, these things are all just very easily removable. You can just kind of like pop it out of the top of the shower head and just, you
know,
use that shit unfiltered, you know, straight from the source. And I find this to be an actual ethical dilemma because I, first of all, let's say the obvious, I want a high pressure shower, right? I mean, you got to have the best shower you can have. But also, I'm a believer in widespread laws and regulations that will change people's behavior for the better. And so I think this is probably a good rule in the books for water conservation overall. I'm sure this is the kind of thing where if you do the math on it, you're like, if we, you know, magically make all these flow restrictors appear in people's shower heads, overnight we'll save like a trillion gallons of water a week or whatever.
I'm sure that's the case. I hard disagree because if you get a shower that has that really intense shower like water pressure, the soap gets out of my hair so much faster. Like, I have really, really, really thick hair, so if I have like a little like wimpy shitty shower head that's just like dripping water on me, it takes so long to like fully get the shit out of my hair, so I feel like I would then be in the shower just for longer and then still using probably around the same amount of water. Except now you've wasted my time.
I hear you. I agree with you. I understand where you're coming from. First of all, I think like that is true for you, and it's probably true for some people. But also, there are some people, hint hint, like me, that don't. The length of my shower is not limited by practicality. It's not like, well, I'm going to get washed as fast as I can, and I'm going to get out. No, no, no. For me, a shower is a great time for leisure and relaxation. I will be in there for a good deal of time, no matter what the water pressure is like. And I should specify, the water pressure with the limiter is like, it's not anemic. It's not like a little drizzle. Like, it's perfectly acceptable water pressure. We have not decided what we're going to do, but for now we installed it with the sort of pressure limiter in. Water pressure seems totally fine. It will be, I think you would not complain were you to shower in this shower. You'd be like, this is fine. But it could be better, Linda. It could be better.
It could be.
So yeah, I think it's. I think we're gonna land on the side of keeping it in and being a rule follower.
That's good.
Person.
Is this just like you know, there are some coffee shops that have they'll have two types of straws. They'll have the paper next to the plastic, and you're forced to make an ethical decision.
I thought plastic straws were banned forever from everywhere.
Not that I know of. They're still all over the place out here. But yeah, there's this one coffee shop in my neighborhood that they have both of them right next to each other. So you have to like look around, see if anybody's looking at you, take that plastic straw, get the fuck out. Maybe it's like a state or city level thing.
Yeah. So one of them has like a picture of a live turtle under it. One has a picture of like a dead turtle, like choked out by straws. And you have to stare in its eyes as you make your choice.
Right. Like, you have choices. Don't say that you don't. Also, one of these conservancy issues that I have is with, and this is more of a UX problem than anything, but toilets that have, like, the two different flushing options for, like, more water or less water. I still don't know which button does what.
It's an American problem, I think.
Well, because they have, like, the bigger button and then a smaller button. And so you're like, is the bigger button the one that they want you to push more so it's bigger?
See, you're too deep. You're overthinking it. You're like a UX person. So you're like, well, if I was doing this.
Well, is it that? Or like, but legit though, it's like, or is the smaller button the smaller amount of fluids that I just put in the toilet? Therefore, it needs less flushing. And the bigger button is for the bigger thing that's now in the toilet. I'm curious. For
so you're saying what you do is you pee in the toilet, then you press a small flush, then you poo in the toilet and press the big flush. That's the order of operations.
Right. Or do you pee and press the big button because the big button is the one that they want you to press more because it conserves more water?
For the record, I'm pretty sure the big button is for the big business and the little button's for the little business. I'm pretty certain. And very oftentimes they're nested, right? Like it's very often that the big button has like a smaller corner cut out and that's the small button. I'm pretty sure like that's the deal. But
little poop emoji on it.
But I too am an American and we don't do that here. We just, you know, use 6 or 7 gallons per flush, as is the American way.
Yeah, mine has a nice little brass handle and that's it. There are no choices.
Linda, how do we always end up talking about toilet stuff? This should be just, you know, toilet stuff with Andy and Linda. This always happens.
Potty mouth. That's the new name.
Ooh, that's a good name for a podcast. Potty mouth.
Thank you.
Yeah, why didn't you think of that a year ago, Linda? It would have been a perfect name for this podcast. And we've been Andy and Linda discuss recent technology developments in toilets, how to flush, you know, what to do if you're trying to do your own DIY bidet at home. Showerhead, flow restrictors, all the important stuff.
Should you wax your butthole or not?
I hear you shouldn't do that, is what I hear.
Wait, why did you hear that? What reason?
It's a functional thing, the body hair, right? Don't you get a big, sweaty, swampy butthole if you don't have any hair down there? That's what I hear.
But then you get a cleaner wipe.
That does make sense, but if you had a bidet, you wouldn't be wiping at all.
I know, I wish I had a bidet.
Yeah. You gotta get that shower wand. You're in the perfect situation. You can make it happen.
Thank you for believing in me.
Would you actually do it though? Let's say hypothetically say that I bought on the commerce website that should not be named. I bought and overnighted a shower head with a wand attachment to you. Would you actually in the comfort of your own home be like, all right, time to turn on the shower to deal with my butt situation? Okay.
I mean, isn't it? It's like the best. It's the best thing in the world to be able to fully clean.
Oh,
all
for
parts.
Sure. Actually, I have an acquaintance of mine who she and she's not proud of this, which is why I think it's actually true. Like she won't tell people. It kind of like snuck out once. But she never poops without showering right after.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's intense.
She works as a school teacher, and she like brings shower stuff with her to school. And on the rare occasion that she doesn't make it through the entire school day, she will go to the locker room and shower.
No way.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
Wait, like scrubbing her whole body or just the key areas?
Oh, that's a great question. I have not asked. That's a really good question. Yeah. I'm assuming she's not like washing her hair every time. That would be
right.
That would be kind of wild.
But I'm sure that there is somebody out there who's that level of devoted to their cleanliness.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, it sounds kind of great, right? Like in one way it sounds like maybe she's got an obsessive compulsive problem, perhaps, possibly. Right. But then also it sounds like, ooh, actually that sounds pretty good. If I worked from home, that would maybe be what I would do in my life.
Maybe she's just like hella Catholic and has a lot of guilt around her body functions.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, what part of Catholicism is like always shower after doing a nasty?
Oh my god, I've dated like a handful of Catholics who just have the weirdest hang-ups about their body functions. It's really strange.
Yeah, you're on the second date and you're like, do you wax your butthole? And they get all weird about it. And you're
and
like,
they
must
just,
be Catholic,
clam up.
Yes.
Yeah, fucking Catholics, whatever.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, speaking of church, yesterday was Easter. Did you do anything?
Did I do anything? Yeah, so we had our moms down for Easter brunch.
Oh, shoot.
On Saturday, actually, instead of Sunday. Just because.
Did they get crafty together?
They did get crafty together a little bit. They went to the sewing store while I cleaned the dishes with Hillary. That's and they amazing. Talked about sewing. Which I also like sewing, to be clear. I haven't done it in a long time, but I don't want people to think that I perceive it to be women's work or anything. I think sewing's cool as hell.
It is cool as hell.
Cool as fuck.
That's awesome.
What did you do for He is Risen, et cetera, et cetera. Bless you.
Blah,
bless,
blah, blah.
Bless everybody. What did you do for He is Risen Day?
For He is Risen Day, I hung out with a friend. And he's working on like a physical prototype for a thing. And I'm not allowed to talk about what the thing is. But
you're such a fucking tease on this podcast lately, Linda.
Well,
you're like, I met a stranger on a train platform. I can't disclose any details about it, but it was pretty interesting. I have a friend who's physically prototyping something I'm not allowed to talk about.
Yeah, but I mean that is what I did. It was cool to play with like a mechanical object for. It was a mechanical object. I'll say that much.
Well, we got some information. You hear, listen, investors out
You
there, steal this
heard
idea, a mechanical object that's fun to play with.
it first. But yeah, because like for me, design has always just been like a thing that happens in the screen. So it's really cool when you see people who are like making physical objects. Yeah, other than that, nothing really. I realized that Easter was happening. That's mostly what happened yesterday. I like went to spin class, tried to call my friends, and they were all at their family's houses and stuff. And I was like, what is going on? Oh, yeah, Easter. So I called my family. My grandma was making my grandpa's steak for Easter. So that was pretty cool.
How very classic of them.
Yeah, classic Easter steak. They live in Minnesota. Things are
Yeah.
different there.
That is one of those like my wife, Hillary, she was not raised religious, but her mom kind of was. And so because of that, like there was a like sense of importance on Easter that was kind of impressed upon her just by proxy, right? Because Easter was important to, I guess, like her grandmother and grandfather on her mom's side, which then became vaguely about family and important to her mother. So now today, Hillary's like, Easter feels kind of important to me. I don't know why. We should do something for Easter. So we did.
Yeah.
Those things get passed down like that. You pass down the guilt, you pass down the importance on arbitrary days.
It's so true. My grandma had this like this lamb shaped cake pan that
Oh,
she would
ooh. I
yeah, so
love
she would
it.
make this like lamb shaped cake and then covered it in shredded coconut. So it was like a
Well,
coconut
I
cream
did
cake.
like it, but then you added that gross coconut on top, and I don't like it anymore.
And yeah, I have very fond memories of that thing busting out. But yeah, it
Now,
had that feeling yesterday when I realized it was Easter. I was like, oh, the family's doing stuff.
I
I
was gonna
should
say, is that kind of weird that
be
you're
proud of
like
them.
symbolically eating the Lamb of God? But then I was like, wait a minute, I forgot the Catholics literally, according to them, eat the body of God.
Yeah,
So that's a
you
thing.
do it all the time.
All the time.
All the time, like weekly.
So good.
And you drink his blood too.
That's the best part.
Yeah.
Get that Jesus blood.
For us, it was always just Welch's grape juice, and I looked so forward to
Yeah, I mean, snack time is the best part of church service.
that. Even when it's like two bites,
Yeah.
not even. It's a crumb.
I bought
Well, how
myself
was
a.
your week? Oh, what?
I was gonna say, I bought myself. We've talked a little bit about how I love candy a lot,
Yeah.
but I won't let myself have it because of how much I love it and my lack of self-control around it.
Right.
And I have been thinking a little bit about that and thinking I should try and exert my my frankly notoriously good self-control. In most parts of my life, I have a lot of self-control, and people have noted this, but candy, not so. I've decided to try and test myself. So I recently purchased a 5-pound bag of sour Albanese gummy bears, the greatest
Wow.
treat a person can have. And I am only allowing myself to have 5 bears a day. Just 5 bears a day, every day from the bag. Call it my bear allotment. And I've been good so far. Like, this has been, I think, day five of having
Day
this bear
five.
bag in the house. Day four or day five of bear bag. And I have not broken my rule.
Wow. Tell me, how have you been splitting it up? Are you like,
Oh,
oh, it's
not
bear
at
time, so I'm gonna have my five right now? Or are you
all.
to the
So
point
day
yet where you're
two, so
like,
day one, we got the bears at like, 6 p.m. and I ate my 5 bears. And I was like, there goes my bear allotment for the day. Day two, got up, immediately went downstairs, ate my 5 bears at about 7 o'clock in the morning.
like a child, I love it.
I was like, there goes my bears. But then that day when I got home from work, I really wanted the bears. So I said to myself, tomorrow I'm gonna try and withhold the bears until after
Right.
work. And I succeeded in doing that. So now it's kind of an after work treat for me. And then on the weekends,
Got it.
it's a free for all. Who knows? It depends. But
Wait,
today.
really? So during the week or during the weekend, you're gonna be like, fuck it, I'm a grown ass
No,
man.
I'm still
I
eating
can have
five
as
a
many bears as
day,
I
but there's
want.
no
Oh,
set
okay, I
time. It's
see.
just
No set
whenever
time.
the mood strikes and I really want to eat them bears, then I do it.
How does Hillary feel about this bear
She's
fascination
making
or
fun of me, but also being
lust?
supportive.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's being
That's a
supportive,
good
but also
wife.
mocking me, which is, I think, the perfect relationship.
It really is. That's so funny. And I love that you're basically torturing yourself and like draining yourself of all of your decision-making power for the day. around these bears.
Well, these are the levels, right? These are the levels of the personal trial, right? Like level one would be just not having it at all, which is what I did for many years. I was like, I will not buy candy because I cannot trust myself with it. I won't have it. That's against the personal rules. And I had to have that hard rule where it's like, can't even buy it because if I do, fucking all bets are off. It's going to be a shit show.
Right.
Now I'm in level two where it's like, you know what? Every once in a while, we can have a treat and we can be self-controlled about it. So I bought the treat, but I still need extremely rigid rules about when I am and am not allowed to eat the treat and how many treats I'm allowed to have. And to be clear, this weekend was Easter weekend. So in addition to my five bears, I have lots of other candy, but still only the five bears. So the spirit of the rule was definitely shattered in that I ate a shit ton of candy on Sunday, but still only five bears. So, you know.
Are you also a little bit like tempted to branch out into like gummy vitamins? I know your take on vitamins, but you know, do you think that like you could start doing the gummy vitamins because they recommend that you only take like one or two a day and not exceed that? And so this could be like a loophole where you're like, I couldn't even eat more of these if I wanted to.
That would be an interesting additional limitation. But ultimately, yeah. The goal, right, like the God tier is to be one of these insane people that just has a bunch of candy in their house. And if they want some, they eat some, but they never overeat it. And they don't have some hard rule about how much they can have and how much they can't
have.
Right. That is clearly where you want to be in your life. And I am not there. I know that. I know if I didn't have a rule right now, I'd be like, the rule is every time I walk past the bag, I have a big giant handful. That's the rule.
Well, so I used to be like that with just like all snacks. I was and I even like struggled with like binge eating for a while. And so I read a book called Women, Food, and God. And like, it's not a religious book, but it's just like referring to
It does have God right in the title there.
Yeah, but it's like the God of like your soul and the universe and whatever.
It's like an eat, pray, love kind of God.
It's a shitty name, but but it's a book all about intuitive eating and how to like you're actually less crazy around food when you let yourself have whatever you want all the time. It's a crazy good book. It has completely changed my relationship with food because I used to be that way with everything. And now I like actually have stuff in my house and I'm like not thinking about it all the time. And if I want a donut, just go down the street, get a fucking donut. And then I get a stomach ache and I'm like, oh yeah, this is why I don't like donuts so much.
Right. I ate a sugar Taurus. So of course I have a stomach ache.
But do you not like if so? Yeah, you might just sit down one day and have like 8,000 gummy bears and then have like a really bad tummy pain.
Oh, I've done that about a billion times in my life. And does it make me shy away from gummy bears? No, no, it does not, Linda.
Okay, got it.
This exact brand of gummy bears are notorious for giving you diarrhea if you eat a lot of them. And that would not stop me at all. Are you kidding me?
You're just committed.
I just it's like it really does feel kind of like an addiction. I mean, at least how I assume an addiction might feel, in that it's just even when I'm like totally full and not hungry, obviously. And you know, the best example I can give is Sour Patch Kids specifically, which for a long time were my favorite candy back when I was growing up, along with Shock Tarts. I love the sour stuff. I would eat them until my like the inside lining of my mouth was just ruined, like, and I could taste blood, and every bite hurt, and I would continue to eat them, like, that would not stop me, and you would, like, taste blood in your mouth every time you ate, like, another Sour Patch Kid, and I'd be like, still going, not stopping.
That is such a weird sensation.
Yeah, and I think it's just, I mean, my feeling has always been that it's like, you know, you took sugar, which in nature was like pretty rare. Like if you go back to hunter-gatherer days, it was hard to like find a big bunch of sucrose or sugar or whatever. So if you found it, you should like binge on it, right? Like when the fruit tree's in season, you should eat a bunch of fruit because it's your body does need it. It's one of the necessary things, but it's hard to find. You can find lots of fibrous plants. There's always grass to chew on if you want it, but there's not always sugar food. So we've evolved to like kind of not really, like some of us at least, we've evolved to not really have like an internal like meter for that's too much, stop it now. And so that's why I can just continue to eat the Sour Patch Kids even after I've stripped the skin off the inside of my mouth completely.
Wow. Oof. I remember that Cap'n Crunch, like there'd be like a little hanging stalactite of skin.
Yeah.
Every time I would eat Cap'n Crunch.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not proud of it, but I'm working on my thing. That's why I got my 5 beer a day limit, which
I'm proud of you.
Is still the kind of way you would treat like a recovering addict, but I'm working on it, you know, one day at a time.
Well, compared to like the problems that you were dealing with last week, it's safe to say that things have gotten a little better for you.
Well, yeah, we said we would have a more positive episode. So I, you know, I came prepared with what to do about the shower and, you know, fun stuff like that.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Did you have a good week overall? I feel like we didn't get to just like asking you if your week was good.
Yeah, my week has been good. I had some work stress, but everything worked itself out. And so I had a really relaxing weekend, and it's raining right now, which is why I'm inside and not doing my usual walk around town. Time for April showers. I bought a bunch of plants this week because I wanted some in my bedroom.
I saw your plants. It looks great.
Yeah. And I got a few more today, even. I got a fern and a little elephant ear. So
I finally went ahead and we bought a fiddlehead fig tree. So we're like every aspirational millennial in the whole world. And I actually, I bought a container for it, like a planter for it, like 2.5 years ago because it was on sale. And I was like, this is the planter I eventually want to put a fig tree in. And then took 2.5 years for me to get over my anxiety that if we got a fig tree that it would die and then I would feel terrible. So now we're just doing it. And you know what? Maybe it'll die and then I'll have to learn to be okay with that.
Maybe it will, but maybe it won't.
Maybe it won't.
I think that they live their best lives when they're in the corner of a window, like right next to a window, but not right in front of the window.
That's exactly where ours is, Linda.
Yep. And then I water it like every week or every other week. And when I do, I put it in the shower. I take it into the shower and I give it a shower for like 5 minutes and let the water run through. And then I don't water it again for another week or two.
Sounds very
effective. That's my tips. Yeah. Sometimes you get in there with it. Shower with it. Talk to it. Sing to it.
Yeah.
Don't move it very often.
That's that plant's got, it's a lucky plant right there. Gets a shower with Linda.
All of my plants.
All right, Linda. Well, I'm going to be researching a nice wand for you because I want that life for you. You have the perfect opportunity. We got to get you a good shower wand.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Send me your tips.
Will do. All right. I'm going to go. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
You too.
All right. Bye, Linda.
Bye, Andy.